everybody. Welcome back to the Tipsy Ghost. We're your tipsy hosts, Sarah, Sarah, and Lindsay.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hi. You want to hear something crazy?
I always, yes.
Yeah.
That is what our podcast is found on.
Crazy.
I don't know if you knew this about me, but I really like fun facts.
What? No.
I learned something on the talk. It's about the ocean, everybody.
Oh, your favorite spooky place.
Did you know we know just a fraction of the ocean?
10%.
We've talked about this.
Well, for the longest time, scientists thought they knew where the bottom of the ocean was, the floor of the ocean. But turns out it was actually just
a ledge.
Fish. And the fish, it was a ledge of fish that would come to the surface.
A fish ledge?
At night. And then come back down to the bottom. And I googled it. It is true.
Wait.
It's called the deep scattering layer.
Okay.
Because the fish scatter.
They thought it initially was an island because they could see on sonar that it was changing. Oh. But they didn't really know why. And they thought, oh, it was an island and it was just moving under the water. But really, it's just like this solid layer of thousands and thousands of fish and jellyfish and all these things all together.
Why are they raised stuck together?
To the bottom. They're doing that by choice. It's a choice.
It's don't a question lifestyle.
It's
a choice,
okay? It's not a choice. It's a lifestyle.
Don't question them.
It is a thick layer of marine creatures. It includes fish, shrimp, jellyfish, and others that rise each night to waters with warmer temperatures before returning
marine creatures
back to deeper areas.
Okay, so do we not know where the bottom of the ocean is?
Has anybody ever gotten to the bottom of the ocean?
I think they have figured it out because I'm
sure they have.
I googled all the things. What is a disturbing fact about the ocean?
Oh, there's so much.
The deepest part of the ocean is approximately 36,000 feet.
I can't comprehend that.
36,200 feet. Neither can I.
That is 5,280 is 1 mile.
Okay.
So 36, so about 7 miles.
That's pretty deep.
That doesn't feel like a lot.
Seven miles?
It also has black holes everywhere.
Like space black holes or?
Don't ask questions.
Do you want to know how far we can go?
The black holes in the ocean exist, a scientist says, okay?
What's his name? Bill?
Scientists, plural.
You said 35,000 feet, right?
Yeah.
So the safest that humans can dive with gear is 190 feet.
we're not getting there.
We can't even get to 200 feet, and it's 35,000 feet.
I bet this is where the alien headquarters are.
That's what I said.
Is this where the lizard people are?
This is what I've been saying all along.
We knew it. Illuminati. Down there.
That's where it started.
It starts at mile 2.
And Nessie. Then
the lizard people are at 3.
Nessie. They don't even have to go that far because they know we can't go down very
They're
far.
They're all stacked.
Like, ooh. They get crushed right about here. Like 500 feet.
Huh. That is a fun fact. Thank you.
Also, did you know there's approximately 3 million shipwrecks at the bottom of the ocean?
Like the bottom of the ocean?
I guess we'll never know.
Is it the fish floor?
It's the fish floor.
The fish are carrying all these shipwrecks.
I want to see the deep scattering layer.
A submarine has gone 35,000 feet below sea level. The Titanic is 12,600 feet below the surface of the Atlantic Ocean, which is 2.4 miles. The Titanic is 2.4 miles down.
How many feet? I missed it. I'm sorry.
He went 35,814 feet.
Isn't that the total length?
There have only been 3 people in history who have done it. Do you know how long it took for them to get down that far?
7 years.
5 hours.
It's like space. They go down and just lose.
That was adorable.
Years of their life. Would you go into a submarine?
Absolutely not.
No.
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 I wouldn't either.
Too claustrophobic? No, I cannot.
No, it's not happening.
I'm not even that claustrophobic of a person, but I have a little claustrophobia. Couldn't do it. Yeah. Do you remember, where were we? Were we at Pythian when we were in that small enclosed tunnel?
Yeah. Yes.
I didn't like that.
Yeah, I forgot
about
that tunnel.
The tunnels at Glor didn't bother me because they were like so big.
Yeah.
But Pythian was so small, didn't like it.
We're going to need to go back though.
I would like going back to Pythian and not falling.
It's a tradition.
Uh-huh. That's what she... Yeah, I would like going back to Pythium, but I did not like that tunnel. I remember that's the only time I felt uncomfy.
Well, we're going to have to go back.
I can't wait.
Well, you didn't feel comfortable there? Let's go do it again.
Yes. Yeah, actually. Isn't there a creepy guy in the tunnel? The creepy spirit guy back in the tunnel?
There was something, yeah. There was a reason we were there.
There was a reason.
There was a reason
we were there. Can't remember.
The tipsy ghost. Face your fears.
Yeah.
No.
We usually do.
What are your fears?
I will not discuss them.
Ocean.
Space. I can't take you to the ocean or space.
Ocean, space, humans, animals.
You're afraid of animals?
Air, earth.
Murderers.
Wind, fire.
The elements.
Tornadoes. Scary.
Earthquakes, tsunamis.
In Kansas.
They're still scary. I'm not saying I'm not brave.
If it's a big enough tsunami,
it might take us out.
It might get here.
I think we are safe in the literal middle of the continental U.S.
My biggest fear is the New Madrid Fault.
What is the New Madrid
Fault? I don't even know what this is. But
is it a line?
It's in Madrid,
is it a line? Is it an earthquake line?
Do you not know what this
because
is?
Because I don't catastrophize like you guys do. I don't think about things like this.
Is it the new earthquake line?
Is it in
line?
Spain?
Can you type in the New Madrid Fault?
Sure.
Like, so it's from Madrid.
No, it's the fault that runs under Kansas City, and it's like the big one. If this one goes off, it's
you
gonna...
You talked about it.
Why is it called the Madrid Fault if it's not near Madrid?
It's the New Madrid.
Are we the New Madrid?
It's like
if the
New
Madrid earthquakes were to reoccur today, significant damage to buildings, transportation, and critical infrastructure would occur in at least 8 states, see? Resulting in loss of life and economic disruption.
Got a picture. Look at that. It's all the over there on the other side of the state, dude.
You guys.
It's not near Kansas
away.
City.
You guys.
That's the boot heel.
Yeah, it's not near Kansas City at all. It's on the other side of Missouri. Why are you worried? Are you worried?
Why am I worried?
It's not near us at all.
It exists.
I thought you meant it went through Kansas City. That is on the other side of the state.
That's what my elementary school teachers told me. Maybe it moved since then.
Well,
it's migrated. I will sit in my garage in a lawn chair and watch a tornado, but I will be terrified if an earthquake happens.
We've had earthquakes. Have you not felt them?
Yes. No.
Oh, really? No. I felt them.
Do you want me to tell you something else, Gary?
Yes.
I have a smorgasbord story for you.
Smorgy, smorgy, smorg.
Thank you both. This is going to be a shock, but I watched a documentary on...
Shocked.
It was on HBO, which I think just goes by Max now.
It is Max. But what did you watch? I've been into a documentary mood.
It's called Dr. Delirium and the Edgewood Experiments.
Ooh,
a little conspiracy.
I love that.
I'm going to tell you a story. It's about the Edgewood Experiments.
You like to do stuff about like government experiments.
I really do. I have I have several on my list.
Yes.
So I have to space them out. But you know what that means. We got to dive into history a little bit. So hang in there.
Oh, it's your favorite.
During World War II, the U.S. created the first nuclear weapon to be used against their enemies. So think Manhattan Project and Oppenheimer.
I was thinking like the nuclear bomb. Is that what we're talking about or something different? Okay. Like Hiroshima.
All the same.
I haven't seen Oppenheimer yet. Okay.
You haven't seen Oppenheimer?
I want to.
I haven't either, but I know the story.
It's so long.
It's very, very good.
Is it out on streaming yet?
Yes.
Okay.
1945. World War II ends and the U.S. continues to test the effects of nuclear explosions by dropping them on German and Japanese warships that were captured. And, well, little did the U.S. know, but the Soviet government was also working on their own atomic weapons. And this is not good.
That is bad.
1947.
Another fear that I have. Nuclear bombs.
Honestly, that's a legit fear.
We're close to a lot of, like, military camps and, like, military bases. And so I'm like, oh, well, they're going to bomb the middle of the United States.
Wait, are we?
Yes.
Yeah. Leavenworth.
I know Leavenworth and like Fort Scott.
And Bragg. Whiteman. Isn't Bragg close by?
Isn't Whiteman nearby?
I don't know where Whiteman is.
There's one in like Manhattan.
Nope.
Okay. The middle of the United States is a bad place to be for a new nuclear weapon.
Test zone.
Just ask me.
Apparently this is something you've thought of.
What have I not thought of?
1947, the Cold War officially begins. The U.S. and Soviet Union were both considered the superpowers of the world.
But
they were rivals because, yes, that's probably how they each thought of themselves.
I'm better than you.
But they didn't want the other one to get too much power, so it was like a battle, basically. Never really resulted in an actual war between the two countries, but it did result in a number of smaller wars. So, like, the Cold War itself wasn't a physical war. But it resulted in several wars, including, like, Vietnam.
Okay.
Okay.
Nam.
Yes.
Nam.
So I heard.
Yeah, no. We weren't there, but no. Yeah. Nam. Familiar.
Okay.
Controversial wars.
Aren't all wars controversial?
I feel like Vietnam was, like, really protested.
Yes.
Ask me how I feel about the War of 1812.
The Civil War, people really hated that one.
That was a big one.
Yeah.
There were two sides.
There's two sides to every war.
No, there's like four plus.
Oh, okay.
This one was like right versus wrong.
Very true.
It's true.
Back to the Cold War.
It was a cold one. Did they call it that because Russia was involved and it's cold in Russia?
I think it's like the cold shoulder war.
I think it's because they don't actually touch. There's no physical touch. It's cold.
There's no friendly touches.
They've gone cold. It also resulted in the U.S. Army Chemical Corps conducting human subject research to evaluate things like low-dose chemical warfare agents, psychochemical warfare, test protective clothing, and pharmaceuticals and vaccines.
Oh, we don't like the human experiments.
Not a great time to be around.
When was your the LSD stuff, the Project X?
MK Ultra?
Yeah, MK Ultra. When was that?
Okay,
was that
so during this? Not to be confused with MK Ultra.
Okay.
And that was a program, just to remind you, that resulted in illegal human experiments.
Did you literally put that in there?
Literally, I did. Thank you for segueing me into the next.
Tell me, so I don't confuse it with MK Ultra.
It's similar. It is similar to MK Ultra.
But different.
Yes. Yeah. She said human experiments and she mentioned pharmaceuticals. So that's where my mind went.
Yes. Yeah, so MKUltra was a project or program that resulted in illegal human experience by the CIA to identify drugs that could be used during interrogations and force confessions through brainwashing and psychological torture. In fact, there are actually several government projects that we could probably compare this to. So our government basically is pretty scary.
They did some sketchy things in the past.
Did in the past? Do.
They are still doing some sketchy things. Don't come for us,
allegedly.
Allegedly.
Just kidding, CIA. I love you.
Don't come for us.
Go America.
You sound so patriotic. So approximately 7,000 to 8,000 soldiers took part of the classified, quote, medical research volunteer program, unquote.
Was it really volunteer?
Actually, it was a volunteer program, but kind of. It occurred between 1948 to 1975. The MRVP was once again driven by the need to develop effective interrogation techniques. That seems to be the driving factor in all of these. The MRVP.
Let's torture our own people so we can know how to torture other people.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. We got to start here.
Torture our own
people. With the volunteers.
The volunteers, in quotations.
The volunteers were sworn to secrecy and told that they would experience no long-term health effects.
Oh, sure. Mm. Sure, Jan.
Do they know that before the experiments happen?
Fun fact, no.
I don't think informed consent was a thing then.
Nope. The volunteers were mostly young men, and the offer was pretty attractive at the time and meant that they wouldn't have to do kitchen duty, that they'd have a private room, and they'd have about 3 days off during the week.
Oh, okay. So no kitchen duty and 3 days off a week is worth experimenting with your body.
Yeah, but they
and
didn't know that.
A private room.
Yeah, and they were also told that this would help end the war in Vietnam.
Oh, they helping on your their country. Nationalism, yeah.
One of the volunteers was 18-year-old Army Private Tim Josephs. He said that when he arrived at Edgewood Arsenal, it looked more like a hospital than a military base.
Fun.
Mm. He had.
Do hospitals look fun?
I would rather be at a hospital than a military base.
Maybe. That's true.
He'd volunteered for a 2-month assignment and was lured by the 3-day weekends that would be closer to home. He said that the idea was that they would test new army field jackets, clothing, weapons, and things of that nature, but no mention of drugs or chemicals. But when he went to fill out his paperwork, he noticed that all the staff were wearing white lab coats. Mm. That's when an officer took him aside and said, "You volunteered for this. You're going to do it. If you don't, you're going to jail. You're going to Vietnam either way, before or after." Military researchers began conducting studies on these volunteers at the U.S. Army Edgewood Arsenal facility in Maryland. The experiments involved at least 254 chemical substances, but would really focus on the drugs that cause temporary hallucinations or delirium. These include, but were not limited to...
Hang on, can I guess?
Yeah.
LSD.
Of course. Any others? One of them was in MK Ultra, but that's going to have... You're going to have to dig way back in your brain.
Acid.
THC, benzodiazepines, and BZ. Don't ask me what BZ is again, because it's that really long word. We talked about BZ, yes. The breakdown of quote-unquote volunteer hours or experimental categories are as follows, enlisted in order from the most percentage of hours to the least. Number one, incapacitating compounds, lethal compounds, riot control compounds, protective equipment and clothing, development evaluation and test procedures, effect of drugs and environmental stress on human psychological mechanisms, human factors test, which is the ability to follow instructions, and other, which included visual studies and sleep deprivation.
Mm. Did I understand correctly that you said the most common was lethal substances?
The most common was incapacitating followed by lethal, yes, which they use mustard gas. One key figure in these experiments was a Dr. James Ketchum. Dr. Ketchum was a psychiatrist and U.S. Army Medical Corps officer, and he worked at the Edgewood Arsenal in Maryland for almost a decade. In the documentary titled Dr. Delirium and the Edgewood Experiments, he is seen talking about his time at Edgewood, and he was questioned on why he would work with Nazis who were recruited for the expertise on human experimentation, mm-hmm. who were brought over. As a reminder, some Nazi scientists were given asylum under the Pentagon's Operation Paperclip.
I remember Operation Paperclip.
But he basically shrugs it off and says that he was on the right side of history and he was doing these things for the greater good of humanity.
Does killing people ever justify the greater good? Like, come on.
It's the age-old question, isn't it?
Is that really the greater good if you're killing innocent people?
I mean, it comes down to so many things that are happening. Dr. Ketchum would subject the participants to different chemicals administered in various forms, like inhalation, injection, and oral. There is footage of the men going temporarily blind, being unable to speak or form coherent sentences, and in some cases, they would actually harm themselves.
Ugh.
His most studied drug was BZ, and that is an odorless and bitter-tasting, incapacitating agent that would keep some of the subjects in nightmarish delirium for up to 3 days.
3 days.
Yeah, and they do show videos of them, and they are just, like, truly out of their mind, like locked in padded rooms.
I'm sure.
It's really sad.
I don't know if I want to see this documentary anymore.
It's very interesting. I feel like it's one of those things that you have to know about, like what people, what they went through.
Yeah.
For decades, the Edgewood experiments were kept confidential and veterans were forced to suffer in silence from the lasting effects that they encountered as a result of the experimentations.
So, yeah, it is strange because like, if you have like some weird side effects, you can't just go to your normal doctor.
Nope.
Be like, hey, this happened to me.
Hey, I had nerve gas.
Yeah.
20 years ago.
Repeatedly.
Yeah.
But don't worry, my government did it for me. It's for the greater good. I did it for
the country. They felt as if they weren't informed of exactly what it was that they were signing up for.
Informed consent. What a thing that is.
Exactly.
What is that?
Nothing. It's not important. You don't need to know about it. Okay. Yeah.
Again, they were told that they were going to be testing army equipment and that there was no mention of any drugs.
You're testing yourself.
You are the equipment. Sorry.
You are the equipment. I mean, it's true. You are the government.
According to them, they were threatened with court. With a court martial if they refused to participate. 1975, the Medical Research Volunteer Program was discontinued and all volunteers were removed, but obviously some damage had already been done.
No doubt. Yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Nada.
Damage? What?
The director of the program was called before Congress and questioned about the absence of follow-up care for the volunteers. An investigation completed by the Army followed, but found no evidence of serious injuries or deaths. Suspicious.
Weird.
It's weird that the Army would conduct its own investigation.
and find nothing.
Nothing happens. I don't know.
Maybe, so weird.
Maybe that happens. Wink, wink. 1982 to 1985, the Institute of Medicine published a 3-volume report on the research collected at Edgewood. The National Academy of Sciences sent a questionnaire to all former volunteers and had about a 60% response, which is actually more than I thought it would be.
Yeah, because like they had to feel safe then to respond.
Yeah. Basically, their results were inconclusive, and they couldn't really directly connect the experiments with any long-term effects that they were experiencing. They even went on to say that, quote, available data suggests that long-term effects and or delayed sequelae are unlikely.
Huh. That seems unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
That finding is unlikely. Like
not taking responsibility for anything. What happened as a result of these studies? The Army felt that they could avoid legal liability by concealing the experiments.
By making up their own results.
Yes. Saying nothing happened. However, once they
were fine.
Nothing to see.
Move along.
Everybody's fine.
Everyone's fine.
However, once they were uncovered, the U.S. Senate questioned the legality of what happened. So in the 1990s, the law firm Morrison and Foerster agreed to take on a class action lawsuit against the government, and the plaintiffs were collectively referred to as the test vets. Up to this point, the vets were unable to tell their families that they were waking up, thrashing overnight, experiencing neurological symptoms, and sometimes physical symptoms, or experiencing symptoms of PTSD. In 2009, another lawsuit was filed by veterans' rights organizations asking the court to determine that the government's actions were illegal and that they have a duty to notify all victims and to protect them with health care. They actually didn't even seek any monetary damages. They basically just wanted the government to admit that this experiment existed and then to declassify information so that they could cover them for health care. Because like we said, they couldn't even get healthcare from VA or really from anybody. Because if you're having long-term effects from neurological nerve damaging gases and you can't be like, this happened.
They're like, look, just treat me and fix what you did.
I know.
And acknowledge that you did it. And that's all I want.
There were so many vets that they interviewed too. And it was really kind of sad because they all, have differing things that were happening. But some ended up with cancer. And again, it really is kind of hard to tell like what tied back, but you have to wonder.
Yeah.
Right? Like some of them have cancer. A lot of them have neurological things like shakes and Parkinson type symptoms. Mm. And some of them wouldn't even have children because they were afraid that they were going to pass on some of these things to their kids. So it is. It just really is a sad thing that they did to them. In 2013, a federal court ruled that the Army had to notify vets of possible long-term effects that they may have occurred during their time at Edgewood. And a short time later, the Army was also required to provide the Edgewood volunteers with medical care as well. So the Army sent about 4,000 letters to the Edgewood participants that included applications for them to get medical care, but didn't mention the Edgewood arsenal or any specific chemicals that they were exposed to. They were just like, sent them a vague letter that said, here you go, here's an application for healthcare. And that's where that ended.
Took a long time.
It did take them a long time to get to that. But even still, they really had to advocate for themselves. And that's probably scary in and of itself to go up against the big bad government.
I hate it here.
I know. I know. You gotta go watch the documentary because the video footage that they have is really, it's sad, but it is really, really interesting.
And I'm glad that they did a documentary on it to let people know what happened.
Yeah. And the physician that did a lot of the testing, Dr. Ketchum, he has since passed away, but you can see how pretty candid he is in the interviews and just like nonchalant about, oh yeah, I did this. Like, and he knew that people were questioning.
It's for the greater good.
Yeah. Well, and he was like, what's the problem?
He also probably believed that, he also honestly probably believed that he was doing this for the greater good, but also believed that he had immunity from it. Like the government's going to cover him.
And he kind of did.
Yeah.
I can scratch this one off my list of not really conspiracies, but things that happened.
Government.
Terrible things in history.
Terrible things in history. Yes. I have a whole category of things.
Things you can't believe actually happened that did.
There we go. History.
What the fuck history?
WTF history.
Sarah's what the fuck history.
Sarah's favorite topic.
Literally, it is my favorite topic. So anytime I'm a smorgasbord, I'm going to probably come up with something to talk about.
I love
it. I have a million more. Project Paperclip is right up there too, because you know I'm just like itching to see how they brought over these people.
The experiments with LSD are wild.
Operation Midnight Climax is on my list. I am dying to get that one done.
And then all of the, it probably falls under the same thing. Basically out of the Nuremberg trials.
Yeah. That was such an upper.
I told you it would be.
I feel great about my current situation.
Yeah. Every time I dive into these, I'm like, what the fuck, history?
All right, guys, thanks so much for tuning in this week to our smorgasbord episode. You can always find us at thetipsyghost.com with our socials linked from there, or send us an email at thetipsyghost@gmail.com.
Please give us a 5-star rating and a great review anywhere you listen to podcasts. We really appreciate it, and it really does help.
All right, guys, thanks so much. We'll catch you next week.
Okay, ha-dat.
Bye.